This week on Grape Encounters Radio.
At 3 a.m., 6.1 earthquake has erupted in the center point of Napa in Sonoma County right now. Will this affect the Napa wine industry? Well, we'll have to find out about that. Late breaking news.
And now, transmitting our signal to wine lovers of the world from our Atascadero Wine Cellar Studio in the heart of the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California. We bring you Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
Well, there's always lots to talk about when it comes to the world of wine, but this week there is one story that dominates the news, and it's something that people are probably talking about all over the world, not just here in the States and not just in California. The 6.1 earthquake that really rocked the Napa Valley and surrounding areas did a tremendous amount of damage, but there also are some misconceptions about what happens next when it comes to California wine. We're going to be focusing today entirely on the Napa earthquake. We're going to talk to some folks who are intimately familiar with what is going on in the area and have lots of information for you. We will not have on Sarah Schneider or Wilfred Wong this week. We'll have them back next week. And with Sarah, we're going to be doing that demonstration of the Coravin and sampling some very old bottles of wine. So we said we would have that this week. It'll be next week. But in the meantime, we have on the line now Nancy Light. She's the VP of Communications for the Wine Institute. The Wine Institute, a very pivotal organization that promotes and supports California wine. And Nancy, welcome to the show. It's been a while since you've been on.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Where do we start? You know, I was looking at something on YouTube that was just fascinating. It was a video that was shot by a helicopter drone that was flying all around the city of Napa. I don't know if you've seen that. Looking at all the old historic buildings that had been damaged. Have you been down there?
You know, I haven't. I'll probably be in the area later this week. But I think, and that's really the point, it was really centered in terms of damage really around the downtown area of Napa. It's a historic town. There are some older stone buildings and other structures that were, you know, severely damaged. I think I saw a number of 40 buildings. There's also some older homes in residential areas, including, you know, friends and colleagues that I know of that have had some significant damage. There are a few wineries. You know, the information is being gathered now, really. I think people's first priority was to first ensure that, you know, all staff and their families were safe, to check their structures and then begin what is primarily, for most, thank goodness, a cleanup effort. We're talking about barrels and bottles. That's the business we're in. And so when you have a shaker of that magnitude, things come tumbling down. And so we're, again, working with Napa Valley Vintners. They're gathering information. But it looks like, although there certainly are some businesses that have suffered significant loss of wine, and in some cases, buildings, primarily, it's a big cleanup effort.
And we'll have the Napa Valley Vintners Association on a little bit later on in the show and get the entire lowdown on the damage as we know it right now. But let's talk a little bit in terms of impact as far as the wine consumer is concerned, because there are a lot of rumors floating around out there that it's going to be slim pickings for wine for the next year because of this. True or false?
False. Absolutely false. A couple of things. For one thing, we have a very good supply of wines from 2012 and 13, and we're really just getting underway with harvest of 2014. So again, there are some facilities that may have lost some barrels of wine from some, you know, the 2013, 2012 was out the door for the most part. So there may be some wines from, you know, certain wines from certain vintages, but that's, at this point, it's looking like that's very tiny. And as I think people may not understand, Napa, it is our most well-known region. It produces about 4% of all California wine, and a tiny percentage of those were impacted. So this will not have an impact on wine supply from Napa or California, certainly, and not have any impact on prices. Again, on individual wineries that may have been impacted in their inventories and or structures, you know, there might be a vintage or two that's missing. But, you know, it's really confined. And I think the other important thing, David, is that all of the wineries that we're talking to are open for business. Napa businesses are open for business. And I think Napa, you know, holds a place that is near and dear in our hearts. And if we want to support them, the best thing we can do is to visit and to drink Napa wines. And that's not a hard thing to do, is it?
No, it's not a hard thing to do. But 4%, that's an astounding number, because I think most people would guess, you know, 50% or something like that. So where's the rest of that wine coming from?
You know, from all over the state. I mean, like most countries, a lot of our wines come from the very productive San Joaquin Valley. You know, every country has that, Spain, Italy. But we're producing wines. You know, we have wine grapes in 49 now of our 58 counties in California. We have 4,100 wineries. So we've got a lot of wine.
Wow. Big number. So it's a strange coincidence, but California Wine Month begins in September. And this was a strange way to welcome that event in.
It has to be the strangest. This is our 10th anniversary, and it did start out, but it kicks off this weekend, and we have over 100 events happening around the state, including in Napa Valley. And I think, as I mentioned, most of the affected wineries were sort of in the southern part of Napa, and, you know, Yountville, St. Helena, and so forth, Rutherford, Calistoga going north are, you know, fine for people that might be traveling, and it's probably a good idea to check in with hotels. But in the basis of the events that we have happening in Napa Valley, they all are all systems go. So I think, again, it's still a beautiful time of year. It's still a great time to experience what it's all about in the middle of the harvest, and in some cases to do some of these hands-on experiences that wineries are offering, you know, from blending sessions to grape stomps. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's a pretty fun, messy and sticky.
I want to do it, but I have really big feet, and I have a feeling that if I ever do it for a vintner, they're going to make me do it for a long time because I can crush more grapes than the average Joe.
Be so effective, huh?
yeah, definitely. But no, I've had a desire for a long time to have purple feet. You know, it's strange you were saying that this is the 10th anniversary, and it was just about 10 years and I'm going to say 8 months ago that a 6.3 earthquake rocked the Paso Robles area where we're based, and that probably welcomed in your first California Wine Month.
You know what? I didn't know that, so thank you for let's not have any more of these anniversaries, I guess.
You know what I wonder is just what might have been learned from the Paso quake, because that quake did an enormous amount of damage. But in the end, it ended up being a good thing for the region because Paso came back in a very big way. And of course, last year was named the Wine Country of the Year by Wine Enthusiast magazine. And of course, we know what's happened in the last 10 years in the Paso area. It's just gotten to be one of the most amazing wine regions that you can visit.
That is the wonderful thing about California. We have so many great wine regions, and they each have their own personality, are known for certain wines. So I think it's, you know, when you're the leader, everybody is comparing to you. And as I said, we've said Napa has the kind of reputation is almost synonymous with California, but we know there's great wines in Sonoma and Paso Robles, Santa Barbara, and that's the beauty of wine. We're all curious. We want to taste and drink different things on different occasions. And it's just a, you know, embarrassment of riches, really, for anybody interested in wine.
I think it's really friendly competition, and I think people have to look at wine, especially California wine, like going out to dinner. One night you go out for Mexican, another night you go out for Japanese, another night you go out for Italian. It's all different.
And then you've got your favorites.
You've got your favorites, but, you know, don't get stuck in one rut. Not that any California wine would be a rut, but don't get stuck on one thing, because it really is a state that deserves to be explored, because virtually all of the wines that come from this state are delicious.
That's exactly right. And we've got over 100 varietals. And there's new exciting things happening, too, in terms of blends. And, you know, we've got the climate, and we have the talent, for sure. And, you know, it's just a great business.
We're talking to Nancy Light. She's the VP of Communications for the Wine Institute. And, Nancy, can you really quickly describe the scope of the Wine Institute and what your organization does?
Absolutely. We're an association of about 1,000 wineries and some affiliated businesses that support them. And we really act as the sort of voice for California wine, and really for wine in general in the U.S., on a lot of the policy issues that relate to the wine business, both on an international trade perspective, federally in terms of federal agencies and taxation, and then in each individual state, as well, of course, in California, where our wineries are based. Additionally, we have a major export program. Last year, California wineries exported about $1.5 billion to 125 countries. So we're promoting California wines overseas as well.
And how do you actually go about doing that? You send representatives to other countries, and who do they meet with, and how do you achieve such a large number?
Well, we have offices and have had for quite some time in 6 different regions of the world, and we have consultants in other places. We've got a full-time agency in China, for example. And it's every aspect of that, as you say, David, from helping wineries to find importers, to, you know, giving them background and understanding of the market, participating in trade shows, probably the best thing we do is we bring probably close to 100 visitors here each year to experience California wine country firsthand. They go back as ambassadors for our industry. So it's a combination of activities, in some cases, you know, marketing and advertising program, but in the most cases, really working with the trade in those countries to get exposure and get get placements for California wine.
Nancy, stay with me for a moment, and we will visit the California Wine Month and give listeners a rundown of how they can participate in that. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio. My guest is Nancy Light, VP of Communications for the Wine Institute. Don't go anywhere unless you're just going to refill your glass.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, broadcasting from our wine cellar studio in idyllic Atascadero, centrally located in the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California.
With Grape Encounters Radio and a special edition of Grape Encounters Radio as we talk about 6.1 earthquake that rocked the Napa Valley and surrounding areas. I've talked to a number of friends who live in the area, and it's just amazing how it affected some and had no impact on other people. It was a very selective earthquake. It did a tremendous amount of damage to the inventories of some wineries and some historic buildings, but the early reports are that the damage isn't nearly as bad as what you may be seeing on television. We've been talking to Nancy Light. She's the VP of Communications for the Wine Institute. And Nancy, as we were saying earlier, I think probably what people see on television is a concentration of video and sound bites that really focus on the damage. But I'm guessing that by and large, the area was less damaged and more shook up.
I think that's exactly right. And I think, as we were mentioning, it's really a cleanup effort underway in a lot of places. If you live in California or any place prone to earthquakes, you know, you can't bolt down your home. You know,
right.
Every table, every lamp, and especially in the barrels and bottles and glass, is going to be a mess. And I think that's what a lot of people were dealing with on Monday morning. But fortunately, so many things, the timing, the fact that we weren't underway with harvest were blessings, I guess, if you don't want to look at it that way. And I think we should. The business is up and running, both in Napa and certainly at wineries. We have, as I mentioned, about 100 events happening for California Wine Month all over the state, more than a dozen happening in Napa, and double-checked this morning, and they are all systems go. So I think a great way to honor Napa and show support would be to enjoy Napa Valley wines and to attend one of these terrific events.
I think it's very important to point out the fact that there is nobody that is telling visitors not to come to Napa. And typically when there's a catastrophic event like this, they say, you know, stay out of the area. But I think they've got things very much under control. And it seems like the sense that I'm getting from Napa Valley is come on down and it's business as usual. And there may be some messes that you have to navigate around. But for the most part, it's all systems go.
I think that's exactly right.
It's also important to mention, I think, the fact that when you go to some of the historic towns in the Napa Valley and Sonoma as well, there are an awful lot of old buildings. But, you know, when you walk into a lot of those buildings, you can actually see the earthquake retrofitting that went on there. There's been a lot of reinforcement of those buildings. I'm not sure about the ones that were badly damaged, but I know for the most part, when you go into a restaurant or a tasting room, if it's a historic building, it's probably already been earthquake reinforced. So if you've got some fear of, you know, going there because there's going to be an aftershock, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Again, in California, it's really required both by law and insurance companies, you know, to have these buildings be as safe as possible. And so it's not a concern.
Let's talk specifically about California Wine Month. Let's speak to the people who are not in the Napa and Sonoma areas and perhaps not in any of the wine country areas, maybe perhaps even out of state. How do they participate in this, and how do you create a roadmap to get the most out of what's going on with California Wine Month? Because there's a lot of events.
Well, I think most people coming, if they're planning a visit to California, would be thinking of going to a particular region or place. And if they need some inspiration, they can go to our website at discovercaliforniawines.com. We have very in-depth information on 33 different regions within California. So these would be even some sub-regions of the major, what we call macro regions in the state. It gives you just a little bit of a snapshot of what that's like. We've also got a landing page for California Wine Month on that website that lists, right now I think we're up to about 96 events. by date and by region, and I would say peruse that and see what you're in the mood for. I mean, there is everything from kind of fun passport events, for example, this passport St. Helena, which is in northern Napa Valley, where you can get a passport that's good for a year, by the way. This is happening actually up until September 7th now, to visit about 8 different wineries, get your passport stamped, get some special treatment there, some special tastings and so forth. There's really fun cheese pairings and release parties. I think one fun thing to do if you want to get your, in this case, feet dirty, is to be part of a couple of harvest stomp events that are happening in mid-September. And Trefethen family is hosting a harvest boot camp for anyone that's really wanted to understand the whole harvest process and pick some grapes and see the grapes being crushed and then relax for a nice lunch. That's a great opportunity as well.
Have you talked to the people over at Trefethen? Because I know that they sustained a lot of damage over there. At least that was a report that I had read.
Yeah, well, it was a particular building, and I have not seen the update. I did check, and this event is still on their website, is moving forward, but we have not been directly in touch to see the status of that. But they did have a building. It's a building that they had repaired in the past, so going to your point about people having already retrofitted, and it is a historic building, and it sustained some damage again.
So going back to navigating California Wine Month, is it a good idea for the folks who might be interested in doing this to let their palate be their guide and consider, you know, the kinds of wines that they like and then take it from there?
Yeah, I think it's a fun way to approach it, either that or a particular place. I think, as we said, you're going to find great wines wherever you go, so maybe it's fun to try something new. One of the fun things is that a number of regions are having kind of region-wide celebrations, and that's really a way to get immersed in a particular region, meet a lot of the winemakers, taste a lot of the wines, and of course, you know, be part of some really fun charity events.
So just a wide variety of things, and I think what is very interesting about California is the diversity of the regions is just staggering. For instance, you can go up to the El Dorado wine country, which to me is one of the most beautiful places on earth, and drive around in what amounts to forest, and then you'll come to a clearing and there's a vineyard. Tend to be much smaller wineries, but really hands-on owners who make these wonderful wines that are very different than the wines that you might taste from other regions. Or you can go to some place like Monterey, spend the day at the beach, and then visit the wineries of Carmel or Monterey Valley. Or you can go to Southern California and take in the Temecula wine country if you want a real urban experience. You know, there's so much diversity. Although, you know, I guess in all fairness, go support Napa Valley because they really need you right now.
I think that's a great idea.
For people who want more information, the website is discovercaliforniawines.com.
Exactly. That's the website for all things California regions and fun. And if they're interested in earthquake information, that's on our industry site at wineinstitute.org.
All right, Nancy Light, I know you've got your hands full. I really appreciate you being here. We will be back with more Grape Encounters Radio in just a moment.
You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and I am now going to have joining me on the show somebody who's probably one of the busiest people in California right now. Patsy McGoy is the communications director of Napa Valley Vintners. They had a big press conference today. She is one of the top go-to people for information right now on what's going on in the wake of the quake. And Patsy, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join me because I know you are up to your eyeballs.
Thank you, David. It has certainly been a busy week.
So did you ever imagine in a million years that something like this could happen? I think California, we experience earthquakes all the time, but we kind of forget about it pretty quickly too.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate. We do know that earthquakes are always something that we're at risk for, but until it happens, I don't think you have a sense of, first of all, what it feels like to be in one. That's a 6.0, and secondly, what the aftermath and the cleanup and the resources are that are needed to help the community, to help our vintner members, you know, even to just take care of our own personal lives. It's been quite a week.
Tell me roughly where you live.
I live in the town of Napa, about a mile and a half from downtown, which was one of the hardest hit areas. Unfortunate that we only had content damage at our home.
So how big a mess was left at your home? Because that would be kind of a typical example of what happened to the residents of Napa, right?
I would say we probably had pretty typical damage, a lot of broken plates and glasses and bottles of olive oil and vinegar that came out of the cabinet and spilled all over the floor, and sadly some heirlooms and keepsakes did get broken. That was what we had to clean up. Another interesting thing that I'm hearing anecdotally is, of course, a lot of us who live in Napa Valley have our own little wine collections, and a lot of folks lost personal wines in their own collection. So that's pretty typical. At the far end of the spectrum, there are a number of people here whose homes and businesses have been red tagged, and they can't even get in and occupy them at this point.
And of course, you know, so much of the attention is on the wineries, but a lot of people forget that there are a lot of people that are living in those regions. There are some pretty good-sized towns there and some pretty historic towns. And unfortunately, so many of the really badly damaged buildings were buildings that are irreplaceable, the historic ones. But as I was talking to Nancy about earlier in the show, a lot of the buildings had also been retrofitted. I think that the region had done a pretty good job of doing that.
Yes, I would say it's a mixed bag. I was actually in downtown Napa this afternoon where a lot of the damaged buildings are located, and that's where a lot of the pictures that have been on the news media were taken. And, you know, downtown was lively. There were a lot of people out and about. There were some buildings that were cordoned off that you can't get too close to, but the mood here is very much about recovery right now and getting back to business as normal.
Well, it couldn't be a busier time of the year, not just in Napa and Sonoma, but really any place that is wine country. It's harvest time, and harvest is coming a little bit early for at least most in California. So the timing really could not have been worse, could it?
It was certainly not great timing, not only because the wineries are so busy, but because it's really one of the peak times for visitation. Everybody wants to be here during harvest. It's so fun and exciting. And so, you know, it was not an ideal time for this to happen. But the good news is people are moving forward, and so many of the wineries are back open. We estimate that at least 95%, if not more, are open and back to business and back to the business of harvesting.
I'm going to guess that as much as we feel bad about the amount of wine that might have been destroyed in this quake, it's probably better to lose some wine than to have a lot of the machinery and equipment that is necessary to harvest be damaged. Do you know or have a sense of how much of that kind of damage has occurred? Is it minimal? Is it a lot? Is it spotty?
I can give you some statistics. As the Trade Association for Napa Valley Wineries, we were asked by Napa County to help gather some of that information, and I have a little bit of data, not complete yet, but it gives, I think, a pretty good sense of what happened. We've heard from about 110 wineries that reported some kind of damage to us, and that ran the gamut from we lost a few glasses in the tasting room to our building has been compromised. About 30% of those reported structural damage. About 90% had loss of inventory. Again, everything from the substantial loss of barreled wine to just a few wines, a case of wine or less. And about half of the folks reporting mentioned intangible losses, like having to close their business for a day or more, or interruption to shipping and order fulfillment. So that's the kind of thing that we're seeing right now.
Now, you're talking about the 100 plus that reported, but obviously a lot more wineries than that in the region. If they didn't report, is that likely because they didn't sustain damage, or maybe just the opposite?
Our assumption is that if we didn't hear from them, they probably did not have damage. The wineries that really suffered the most were the ones that are located in and around downtown Napa and just south of Napa in the Carneros area, and a couple of them just north of the city of Napa. For the wineries that are based Yountville North, which, as you know, is a lot of the wineries in Napa Valley, there were no reports of damage for those wineries. So again, the vast majority didn't have any impact from the earthquake, but the ones in Napa and the surrounding area, some of them were hit pretty hard.
On the line, it's Patsy McGoy, the communications director of Napa Valley Vintners. Patsy, you just had a pretty big press conference. Tell me how well attended that was and just what the general atmosphere there was.
Well, we had a number of media folks in town. Of course, everybody's been in town all week covering the story. And we were absolutely delighted and proud to announce that we are contributing $10 million to create a Napa Valley Community Disaster Relief Fund. And the goal of that is to provide some immediate support for people in the local community that were affected by the earthquake.
Wow, talk about taking care of your own.
We're very proud of neighbors helping neighbors. I'm sure you've heard of Auction Napa Valley, which is our annual fundraiser. It's been going on for almost 35 years. And through funds raised at Auction Napa Valley, we do have what we consider to be a rainy day fund for emergencies just like this. And so it was the perfect time to make a decision and make a significant contribution when people really are in need.
So how will you go about determining how this money gets distributed?
We're partnering with our local community foundation to work through all those details. They will actually be the entity that receives the donations, including our $10 million startup fund, and they'll help us to coordinate with other nonprofit organizations. They'll help us to screen applications. You know, there's a lot of details we need to finalize, but we felt it was really important right now when people are hurting, when people need help, to know that help is available and help is on the way. So we've made the announcement, and over the next few days and weeks, we will be figuring out all of the details of how to distribute the funds and take care of folks.
Now, just to be clear, is that help to the wineries only or also to members of the community?
Absolutely not intended solely for wineries. This is a community fund, and the primary people and our first priority are for local residents and local businesses, not necessarily wineries.
Fantastic.
You know, again, you've seen this on the news. The heart of the devastation is right in downtown Napa. There are hotels that are closed. There are restaurants that are closed. There are stores that are closed. And every time a business is closed, people are out of work. And, of course, the homes, you know, so many people, I heard a figure of 200 homes and businesses red tagged. So those folks can't even go and be in their homes. There were, you know, contents and things that were broken and lost. There are people that still don't have water. So our hope is that we can assist those people right away.
I want to go back to the press conference that you had today. How far away are you getting inquiries from? I'm guessing from all over the world.
Yes, absolutely. We had an inquiry from Russia. We had inquiries from Asia and of course, all throughout the United States, the UK, Mexico. We've been fielding calls from every part of the world. People are interested. People are curious. People know about Napa Valley and Napa Valley wine, and they want to know what's next.
Talk to us now about, you know, some examples of some of the worst damage that you're aware of. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what we might be looking at?
Sure. Probably the worst damage that I've seen is structural damage to wineries and buildings. There's not a lot of that, but there are a few cases where wineries will be closed and will need to retrofit their buildings. And I know that the people that I've seen in that circumstance have pledged that they will rebuild and they will recover. And in the meantime, other parts of their facility are functional. They're starting their harvest. They're considering setting up temporary tasting areas where they can still welcome guests. So those were the worst impacts. But again, that spirit of we will recover, we will come back is guiding them to try to work through it as quickly as they can.
And the larger volumes of wine that was lost typically was from barrels that had fallen and broken?
Yes, that's my understanding, is that the folks who lost the greatest quantity of wine lost it in barrels.
So some examples of that might be what?
The wineries in the Carneros area and South Napa were the ones that had the worst barrel damage. And, you know, the thing about barrel damage that's a little tricky is if the barrel didn't break, if the barrel survived the fall, you may not have lost the wine. If the barrel was crushed in the fall, obviously that wine is gone. But I think people are still assessing, if the wine survived in the barrel, is it going to be okay? And that, you know, that will come over time. They'll be able to determine that. The one thing I want to ensure people who are listening, and we've heard a little bit about this, questions, gosh, what will this do for wine pricing? Will there be a wine shortage? And I want to clear up any misperceptions about that. We are coming off of the 2012 and 2013 harvests, which were the two most abundant harvests ever in the Napa Valley. And the wine that was lost or damaged in the earthquake was from those two vintages. So we are not anticipating any kind of inventory shortage across the board, and we are not anticipating any kind of pricing increase as a result of the earthquake. Some individual brands may have losses within the specific vintages, but across the board, we do not anticipate any sort of widespread inventory or pricing issues.
There were some reports of at least one or two wineries losing as much as half of the inventory that they had in barrels. Are those stories true?
I have not heard that specifically, so I can't say that that is the case. I just honestly don't know.
Okay, so it's still really tallying things up at this point in time.
That's correct. People are definitely trying to get an assessment of what they've lost and, you know, what they need to do next. Of course, the great news is that the 2014 harvest is getting underway, and we're looking at another great vintage. The quality should be exceptional. We've had terrific weather throughout the growing season, and we're actually anticipating an average to maybe even above average yield. So even for a winery that may have lost some of that 2012 and 2013 inventory, the good news is that they have yet another harvest right around the corner, and it should be pretty abundant.
And particularly amazing when you consider the fact that the drought continues in California, and there's an awful lot of gloom and doom talk that actually has been going on for a few years now, but somehow I think through a lot of really exceptional sustainability practices and conservation, it seems like the yields just keep going up, even though we're facing what would have at one point been considered to be insurmountable circumstances.
Yes, even though we are coming off of what is one of the driest winters on record, we were very lucky in the Napa Valley. We had abundant rains in February and March, which came at just the perfect time, right before the start of the growing season. So even though the winter itself was incredibly dry, we had this burst of water right before the vines started to bud and bloom and go through their growing process. And as a result, the crop is expected to be pretty abundant. And again, you know, that perfect weather we've had all summer long will result in terrific quality.
Well, it sounds like it's not all bad news. A lot of good news coming out of Napa. You've had fires, you've had drought, you've had earthquakes, and you continue to make some of the world's very best wine. In fact, an awful lot of it. So thank you very much, Patsy, for the information. We really appreciate it. Wish you all the best of luck up there. And we are all going to cross our fingers to make sure that you don't have any significant aftershocks there.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the good wishes.
Okay, coming up next, it's going to be Tom Silberkleit, the publisher of the California Directory of Fine Wineries. He's got intimate knowledge of an awful lot of those wineries that were affected by the quake, and we'll get yet another perspective when we continue on Grape Encounters Radio. Special thanks to my guest, Patsy McGoy, Communications Director of Napa Valley Vintners. Thanks, Patsy.
Thank you.
With our special edition of Grape Encounters Radio, the devastating earthquake that rocked the Napa and Sonoma valleys, I wanted now to turn to a very good friend of Grape Encounters Radio, somebody who's probably more familiar with the wineries in that region than just about anybody else because he publishes the California Directory of Fine Wineries. It is Tom Silberkleit. I guess, Tom, you are shaken but not stirred.
I am shaken and stirred, both at the same time, David.
Really?
Yeah, I'm shook up. This was huge. I've been in earthquakes throughout most of my life, but never so close to the epicenter and never so frightened. It was really terrifying.
So it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you're sound asleep, right?
Totally. Sound asleep, and all of a sudden you wake up and there is the sound of a freight train in your ears. And suddenly, you know what that is. When you live in California, you know that sound. And you get out of bed as fast as you can and you run for cover. And I stood up and I fell against the wall because the shaking was so fast and so furious, it was very hard to keep balance.
No kidding. And what about your wife?
Oh, same thing, terrified. And we had a friend staying with us, too. Everybody was in the hallway and hanging on. It was a wild ride. And the shaking was so violent, I heard glassware smashing throughout the house, pitch dark because the power was out. And I was waiting for the roof to cave in.
No kidding. And your guest, was the guest from around the area or from out of town?
California. So she was used to earthquakes as well. So
yeah.
We all knew this was a big one. This was a scary one.
Your office is in Sonoma. For those who are not familiar with the lay of the land, Sonoma is really not far from the city of Napa, which is where the epicenter was, right?
Yeah, I'm 12 miles to the east of the city of Napa and about 16 miles from the epicenter in American Canyon. And that's close enough to be too close, let me tell you.
So just you sent me a photograph, and I was just startled by this photograph of your office.
Posted it on our Facebook page, California Directory of Fine Wineries, because nobody would believe it. Complete devastation in our editorial office. Everything collapsed. Steel bookshelves mangled. All the file boxes and sample boxes boxes and just scattered like a tornado. It looks like a disaster zone. It's just a small office, and we're very lucky the damage wasn't worse. And, of course, the timing of the earthquake was very fortunate. 3:30 in the morning, people were not out and about. Let me tell you, if it happened during the daytime in downtown Napa, people would have been killed. The historic buildings that are made of brick in downtown Napa were the ones that did not fare well, and bricks from the second story and third stories of buildings came tumbling down into the street. One guy said to me, "Tom, Napa downtown looks like a war zone."
No kidding. Cleanup is going on in earnest right at the moment, right?
Yep, and I would suggest if you have any listeners around the country, David, that are planning a trip to Napa, within the next couple days, 3-4 days, they should call their hotel, call the wineries to make sure that they're open for business. Most of them are. It'll take them a few days to get back in order. Within a week or two, everything will be back and everything will be fine. But there are some places that had a huge amount of damage.
So we're going to talk about some of the specific wineries that suffered such incredible damage. Some of them losing, I guess, all of their wine inventory.
For instance, Bouchain in the Carneros, which is southern Napa, they lost everything. They are known for Pinot, Chardonnay, but this time they had a ton of Cabernet that they were experimenting with. And the owner, according to what he had said, he had just tasted the Cabernet recently and was so thrilled and so pleased, and it's gone. B.R. Cohen in Sonoma Valley, which is even further away from the epicenter, they lost about 50% of all the wine that they had. And some Something interesting in general, wineries that have their wine in bottles, those wines, many of them were safe because they were on pallets preparing to be stored or shipped. But the wine that was still in the barrel, those had a lot of problems. A lot of barrels lost, as you've been hearing, and Hess Collection suffered a lot of damage. Two 20,000-gallon steel tanks both ruptured,
The
wine just poured out into the garden. The visitor center at Hess Collection, these 900-pound wine barrels went flying across the visitor center, crashing through the glass windows. So they are really in the midst of a big cleanup. I mean, they've got a great team and a great group, and they're getting it cleaned up quickly. But talk about monetary loss. That's a beautiful historic winery, and they also have an art collection there that's open to the public. Some of the art pieces got damaged and fell left and right in all directions.
A lot of wonderful art collections in the region, like, for instance, Paju Province, you know, has a huge collection. I don't know what the fate of that was. But
well, I'll tell you, I've got some reports in. I know you're going to get more reports from your other guests. Paju, very little damage. Rutherford Hill, very little to no damage. Frank Family, no damage. ZD Wines had one bottle break. That's it. As it is, 176 people were admitted to the Napa Queen of the Valley Hospital with mainly injuries from broken glass.
So what happens from here?
The good news is everybody's pulling together. It's a pretty tight-knit community, and people are helping people, and everybody's getting things back to normal.
Tom Silberkleit, the publisher of the California Directory of Fine Wineries, a directory for the Napa and Sonoma Valleys, a directory for the Central Coast of California. I mean, you know so many of these wineries intimately. I don't know anybody that knows the wineries as intimately as you do. What's your plan? Are you going to be contacting them one by one and assessing the damage?
The past several days, we've been talking on the phone. We've been emailing just to make sure everybody's okay. Places like Côte d'Aval, only a few broken bottles, so they say. I've been hearing in the news that Silver Oak Cellars lost hundreds of bottles of very, very good wine. It's pretty sad. But their main cellar was intact. It was built just a few years ago after a fire that they had, so it was built to withstand earthquakes. But it was another secondary cellar that lost a lot of rare bottles. So you're going to hear more and more stories of this. But they're getting it cleaned up, and everybody is getting their act together because you've got to move forward. It's a crush. It's the harvest. We're lucky that harvest is not in full swing yet. So it has begun. Chardonnay, Pinot Noir has been coming in, but there's still a lot more to go.
Well, you make a really good point, though, because this has got to have just disrupted harvest in a huge way, right?
Well, it's a big disruption because when they lose tanks and when they lose barrels at this time of year, you can't just turn around and snap your fingers and get more equipment. It takes time, and it's at a premium right now. It's at a shortage because people have been ordering and bringing in new equipment as needed before the quake.
Okay, Tom, well, you are our official Cub reporter in the Napa and Sonoma Valleys. You mind if we check back with you in a week or two and get an update on what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. Things should be completely back to normal in just a few days.
All right. Tom Silberkleit, the publisher of the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Check out Tom's website. It is californiafinewineries.com.
You never know what part of the country or the world the Grape Encounters microphones will take you to. Don't miss a single experience. Your Grape Encounter isn't over. We're just taking a breather until next week's edition.